whether it would like the name. However, it only grinned a little wider. Oh, come, it's pleased so far, thought Alice, and she went on. Would you please tell me which way I ought to go from here?
That depends a good deal on where you want to go, said the cat.
Oh, I don't much care where, said Alice.
Then it doesn't matter which way you go, said the cat.
So long as I get somewhere, Alice added as an explanation.
Oh, you're sure to do that, said the cat, if you only walk long enough.
Alice felt that this could not be denied, so she tried another question. What sort of people live about here?
In that direction,
the cat said, waving his right paw round.
Live the Hatter. And in that direction,
waving the other paw,
live the March Hare. Visit either you like. They're both mad.
But I don't want to go among mad people, Alice remarked.
Oh, you can't help that, said the cat. We're all mad here. I'm mad. You're mad.
How do you know I'm mad, said Alice.
Must be, said the cat. Or you wouldn't have come here.
My Boss, the Cat, by Paul Gallico. If you are thinking of acquiring a cat at your house and would care for a quick sketch of what your life will be like under Felis Domesticus, you have come to the right party. I have figured out that to date I have worked for, and I mean worked for, 39 of these four-legged characters, including one memorable period when I was doing the bidding of some 23 assorted resident felines, all at the same time. Cats are, of course, no good. They're chiselers and panhandlers, sharpers and shameless flatterers. They're as full of schemes and plans, plots and counterplots, wiles and guiles, as any confidence man. They can read your character better than a psychiatrist. They know to a milligram how much of the old oil to pour on to break you down. They are definitely smarter than I am, which is one reason why I love them. Cat haters will try to floor you with the old argument, if cats are so smart, why can't they do tricks the way dogs do? It isn't that cats can't do tricks, it's that they won't. They're far too hep to stand up and beg for food when they know in advance you'll give it to them anyway. Cats, incidentally, are a great warm-up for a successful marriage. They teach you your place in the household. The first thing Kitty does is to organize your home on a comfortable basis, her basis. She'll eat when she wants to. She'll go out at her pleasure. She'll come in when she gets good and ready, if at all. She wants attention when she wants it, and darn well means to be let alone when she has other things on her mind. She is jealous. She won't have you showering attentions or caresses on any other minxes, whether two- or four-footed. She gets upset when you come home late and when you go away on a business trip. But when she decides to stay out a couple of nights, it's none of your darn business where she's been or what she's been up to. Either you trust her or you don't. She hates dirt, bad smells, poor food, loud noises, and people you bring home unexpectedly to dinner. Kitty also has her share of small child obstinacy. She enjoys seeing you flustered, fussed, red in the face, and losing your temper. Sometimes, as she hangs about watching, you get the feeling that it's all she can do to keep from busting out laughing. And she's got the darndest knack for putting the entire responsibility for everything on you. For instance, Kitty pretends that she can neither talk nor understand you, and that she's therefore nothing but a poor, helpless, dumb animal. What a laugh! Any self-respecting, racket-working cat can make you understand at all times exactly what she wants. She has one voice for let's eat, another for wanting out, still a third for you don't happen to have seen my toy mouse around here, the one with the tail chewed off, and a host of other easily identifiable speeches. She can also understand you perfectly when she thinks there's profit in it.
The Well-Bred